Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the world that you've made that we live in, and your word that teaches us about you and your world. And thank you for the work that we have to do as people in your world. We pray that as we consider them all now, and you would teach us from your word wonderful things, so that we might know how to live for you in accordance with your will, and to honour our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Steve Jobs said, "Your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work." Theodore Roosevelt, a little bit further back in history, "Far and away the best prize that life has to offer is the chance to work hard at work worth doing." And Oscar Wilde, no series of quotes would be complete without Oscar Wilde. "The best way to appreciate your job is to imagine yourself without one." Well, if you're someone who's following Jesus and you're working, you are on a collision course with the rest of the world when it comes to thinking about your work. It's not just true about work, it's true about everything we do as followers of Jesus. And we're in this series looking at the Word, God's Word, the Bible, versus the world, how they clash when they come together. The Christian counterculture, we thought about a couple of weeks ago. And what does that mean when it comes to thinking about work? Well, let's define work for a moment. Activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result, says the dictionary. Activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. How does following Jesus make a difference to the work that we do? Maybe you're in paid employment and you're full-time at that. Perhaps your work, perhaps you're not working, perhaps you're unemployed. You're looking for work, or maybe even not able to work. Perhaps your work is unpaid and you're a volunteer. Maybe you're a carer or perhaps a church worker of some sort. Perhaps you've retired from full-time work. Once upon a time, you had a 9-to-5 job or something, and now you're retired. But maybe still you work in some ways. Whatever your situation, how does following Jesus make a difference to your work? And what we're going to see today is that whatever the situation, there's always a way to serve the Lord. There's always a way to serve the Lord Jesus. What I'm going to do is have two halves. First of all, think about God's big picture and where work fits in with the whole of the Bible kind of thing. And then to think about today and how we apply that to where we are today and what difference it makes to us. Okay, so let's start with God's big picture. The work in God's big picture. When you go from the beginning to the end of time, or the beginning to the end of the Bible, which is the beginning to the end of time, where does work fit in? And what we find out is that work isn't just some sort of incidental thing that crops up along the way as a sub-theme because everything else is much more important. No, work is right at the heart of the way God has made the world, his design. And to see how your work today is impacted by what Jesus has done, we need to have this survey and look at all of it. So we're going to look at four aspects of God's big picture across time. Creation, fall, Jesus, and the new creation in the future. Creation, fall, Jesus, new creation. Let's start with creation. And what we discover is that work is what we're made for. Work is part of God's creation. It's a good thing. Have a look at Genesis 1:28 on the sheets there. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. This is part of the creation, and God has made humans, and he says, the Bible says, "God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Now think about that definition of work again. Activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. Does that sound like that? Does, doesn't it? There it is. Work right at the heart of God's creation. It's a good thing. That becomes clearer in Genesis 2. So in Genesis 2, verse 15, there on the sheets again, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. To work it and take care of it. And the word work here in Genesis 2 has a sort of a sense of serving. And in other places in the Old Testament, the same word has the context of worship. So in the Garden of Eden, this perfect man is to work the garden as part of his worship and obedience of God. It's a great picture of a great beginning. And so, not surprising to see that work has got aspects of creation in it. Some work is imaginative and creative. And in other kinds of work, we care for things and we steward the resources of the world, whether that's people or minerals or something else. So there are aspects of work that are to do with creation. Well, we know what happens next in the Bible. Along comes the fall, and human beings disobey God and reject his purpose. And as a result of that, God brings his punishment on them, and he changes the makeup of the world. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 17. It's on the sheets there. So the first title was creation, the next one is fall, and Genesis 3, 17. At this stage, they've disobeyed God, and he's bringing them their judgment, his judgment. To Adam, God said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground." It's a tragedy, isn't it? Work has now gone from being a good thing, creative and fruitful, to being something that's hard, that involves the sweat of your brow, that involves toil, or painful toil. And we all know some of this in work, don't we? Whatever work you've done in your life, you'll have known some painful toil and some sweat of your brow. Yeah? And it comes up in the book of Ecclesiastes, where the preacher writes, Ecclesiastes 2:22, on the sheets again, "What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labour under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless." It's dismal, isn't it? Now, there are some good jobs and there are some bad jobs, aren't there? So there are some jobs which are great fun, and there are some jobs which are really grim, and all sorts in between. But anyway, whatever job we've had, we've known something like this. The toil and the anxious striving with which we labour under the sun. Work of grief and pain during our days. Even at night, our minds not resting. That's Grand Prix today. Lewis Hamilton apparently has been on Instagram at 3 o'clock in the morning, not able to sleep. So even with that, the best job in the world as a racing driver. There it is. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. So there's a big paradox about work. On the one hand, we're created for it. It's great. On the other hand, it's messed up. It's cursed. It's under the curse, God's judgment of the world. So even when I was flying planes, it's a great job. I love aeroplanes. I love flying, being up in the air and everything. But planes break. Some days are really long and hard. And some of the people are idiots. Paradox of work. Creation, fall, Jesus. What difference does Jesus make? Jesus worked. This is brilliant. Jesus worked. So the work that we see in creation is in some way fulfilled in Jesus coming and working. He worked in two ways. He was a carpenter. And part of the purpose of his incarnation, coming as a human, was to be like us. And in being like us, he had a job for about 15 years or so of his life. He must have worked. And we know he was a carpenter. Mark 6, I've put one verse of it there on the sheets, but I've got more here. Mark 6, verse 1. "Jesus went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. 'Where did this man get these things?' they asked. 'What's this wisdom that's been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter?'" You know, they've seen him out there putting up doors, banging things onto walls, whatever. There's a really good film of the life of Jesus called Miracle Maker. It's designed for children. It's cartoons and freeze-frame animation with clay models and things. Brilliantly done. And it starts with a scene in Capernaum with some, all sorts of things going on, a market and some building work. And in this building work, there's a guy putting up the lintel of a door, banging this piece of wood into place. And some other stuff goes on. And then the guy says to his mates at the building, he's like, bye, I'm off. And he's not just off for the day. He's off because he's stopping that job because he's got another one. He's about to be the saviour of the world. It's Jesus. He was a carpenter. It's brilliant. He worked as a carpenter. He worked, more importantly, as a saviour, the saviour. And just before he died on the cross, in John 17, he prays to the Father and he says, bottom of page 2 there, John 17 verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So everything Jesus did in terms of his saving activity, it was his work. And this is where ultimately he fulfills the work that came in the Garden of Eden, and where he comes as a human to do this ultimate work of dying on the cross so that he can qualify us for the inheritance that God has for his people. Redemption, forgiveness of sins, dying on the cross, and then rising to life and ascending to heaven so we can have new life and a new Lord, all because of Jesus and what he's done. That's his work, the work of the cross and the resurrection. And so Jesus enables us to become his followers. And we can do that. And we can repent, we can turn away from our sin and the way we live without him. We can believe in him and become his followers. And that changes work for us. We're still living under the curse while we're in this world. So work is still toil and difficulty. But alongside that, we have a new relationship with God. We have a new Lord and a new life. And that changes how we look at work while we wait for glory, which we'll see in just a moment. It also changes how we think about work. So creation, fall, Jesus, who worked and worked at salvation. And then the last thing in our overview, the new creation, our hope of what is coming in the future because of what Jesus has done, which is described in the Bible as rest. And the rest of the new creation is worship and serving the Lord as we enjoy his perfect creation. And so in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 22, the holy city is pictured coming down from God. It's picture language of God's people in God's place under God's rule and blessing, the completion of what Jesus has done. And this is what it says in Revelation 22, verse 3. No longer will there be any curse. So the judgment for our sin is taken away. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. The word for servants is literally slaves. So we're slaves of God, which is a good thing. His slaves, his servants will serve him. And the word serve there is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word that was back in Genesis 2 in the Garden of Eden. So it's come full circle. There's work in heaven. What is the nature of that work? Serving and worshipping the Lord and enjoying his creation. Fulfilling what we saw back in Eden as God put Adam in the Garden of Eden. So there's work in God's big picture. Creation, it's a good thing, work. Fall, it's spoiled by the curse and by our rejection of God. Jesus comes and works both as a carpenter and as the saviour. And so there's the new creation where work is fulfilled by the ultimate rest, the worship and service of God. So what about us today? What about you and me as followers of Jesus, if we are? And if you're listening in as someone who's not yet following Jesus, what would it mean to work if you were to put your trust in him? Well, there's always a way to serve the Lord. There's always a way to serve the Lord. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we're going to be distinctive from those around us. We are counter-cultural people. And we need to be, because whatever situation we're infected, as it were, by all the different ideas around us and from those that come up from inside us. So our work is challenged by greed. We're greedy, just as the rest of the world is greedy, and that changes how we look at work, because we want to get more money. We want to do it so that we get money. Self-centeredness, that challenges the way we work, because we're not so bothered about the other people who work or the people we're working for. We want things for us. Injustice. We might say we're very important. We want justice to be done. But actually, our self-centeredness means that we're quite happy for injustice to happen in various places and work. Laziness. Laziness affects us. And a wrong view of worth. We think that what we're worth depends on the place we work. The car, our company car, or not. How many people work for us, or whatever. And all these things infect our mind when we're thinking about work. So how are we to think as followers of Jesus? How can we be different? There's always a way to serve the Lord. We'll think about, first of all, people who are working. If we are working, and in that I would include people who are paid or not for their work, skilled or unskilled work. Excuse me, I'll just catch up with the remote. The remote is running about 5 seconds behind every click I do. Oh, nearly there. It's probably gone too far now. Are you working? There we go. So, unpaid or paid, skilled or unskilled. Maybe it's interesting work or not. Enjoyable or unenjoyable. Easy work, hard work, unpopular or popular work. Work that is dignified and carries with it respect, or undignified work that people don't really want to do. Full-time, part-time, 0 hours, work caring, volunteering, all these different kinds of work is included. What I will exclude from working is immoral or illegal work. So in most cases, for Christians, we shouldn't be doing work that is immoral or illegal. The case where we could would be if we were working for a government that said, don't preach the gospel. In which case, we would preach the gospel. We would tell people about Jesus, even if it was illegal. But the only Christian drug dealers are ex-drug dealers. Yeah? How are we to be distinctive? Worship and serve the Lord in what you do. It's very simple. Worship and serve the Lord in what you do. Have a look at that verse there. Colossians 3:23 on the sheets. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Whatever you do, whatever there's different kinds of work, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Now, in Colossians 3, the context of this verse is Paul is talking to slaves. That's a different kind of situation from what we would understand as sort of 18th century slavery. It's the closest we get in the New Testament to employment in this particular context for the slaves. If you look at verse 24, he gets them to look forward to the future. He says, you know, so work for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. So their human masters might not be very good to them and treat them well, but they will receive the inheritance from Jesus, which is coming as a result of the work that Jesus has done. It's good news for them. And meanwhile, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. So we apply that principle to our work, and what do we see? It's the Lord Christ you're serving, wherever you are, whatever you do. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. Think back to Eden. What was work in Eden? It was worshipping and serving the Lord. Look all the way to the new creation. What is work in the new creation? Worshipping and serving the Lord. So what is our work today as followers of Jesus? Worshipping and serving the Lord in our work. So, for example, some made up people. Sally follows Jesus. She has to have 3 jobs so that she can make ends meet. The first one starts at 5:30 in the morning up in the city, cleaning offices. She's always exhausted by the time she picks the kids up from school. But every room she cleans is made spotless for Jesus. For Jesus. And that worship of hers is better than any song she sings in church on a Sunday. Simon, Simon took early retirement to care for his wife and his grandchildren. It's hard work at times and tiring, sometimes quite menial because of the things he has to do in caring for his family. But he does it for them, and he does it for the Lord as well as he does it. He does it the best he can for them as a way of honouring Jesus. One day his wife might have to go into a home, and then his visiting in the home will be his way of honouring Jesus and visiting her in the home and helping her there. What about Sharon? Sharon runs a retail company. She's a big shot believer. She works hard to make sure that every worker, every supplier, every contractor, everyone on the shop floor, every customer is well treated. Why? Well, her profit margins may be different and the profits may be lower because of that. If maybe she's a bit harsher on some of them, there'll be more money for the shareholders. But she does this in the name of Jesus. Simeon works in accounts for small business. He hasn't been promoted in years, but that works for him because he can do this job well and has time for church things. His value isn't tied up in his bank balance or his company car. His value is in serving Jesus in what he does. What about you? Thinking about this involves three things. It involves trusting Jesus. It involves understanding his word, the Bible, and thinking about that. And it involves some imagination, because Jesus is invisible. So to say he's serving the Lord in what you do, we have to kind of imagine what is true but invisible. What would it be like if Jesus was doing this with you? What if Jesus were to come and ask you about what you're doing? Use your imagination. You're not making up things. You're trying to visualize what the Bible tells you is true about your work. There's a lovely old hymn, "Fill thou my life, O Lord my God, in every part with praise." And it says in verse 3, "Praise in the common things of life." It's goings out and in. "Praise in each duty and each deed, however small and mean." And it goes on, "So shall no part of day or night from sacredness be free, but all my life in every step be fellowship with thee." There's always a way to serve the Lord. What about if you're not working, if you're unemployed? Well, perhaps that is for reasons beyond your control. Illness, redundancy, other things. Well, hopefully, we as a church family are alongside you. And with the help of the government, in whatever form that comes, you find a place where you can find help and encouragement here in the church family. And if work becomes possible, or if you're someone who's unemployed who can work, then the Bible encourages you to seek work and find it. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:11, Paul writes to these Christians, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." All sorts of things he's saying about that passage, but ultimately he's encouraging us to be people who look for work. And maybe you're retired. There's always a way to serve the Lord when you're retired. I mean, do you think that retirement is about a life of leisure? Well, it's not. Not from a Christian point of view anyway. Think about the rest of heaven. What's the rest of heaven? It's work, isn't it? Serving and worshipping the Lord in the fulfillment of work. And so retirement, as a foretaste of that, is an opportunity for meaningful service in the worship of the Lord. Perhaps you have more time in retirement to do stuff for the Lord in helping people to know Jesus in one way or another. Now, obviously, the problem with retirement is you get older, and age brings with it limitations, doesn't it? And we're not as able to do the things that we could when we were younger. And that's something we have to bear in mind. But it's still an opportunity to serve the Lord and people in retirement. Well, I don't know which situation you are in, but you need to spend some time just thinking about this. Perhaps before you go to bed tonight, sometime during the day, take a sheet, read through the Bible verses again, and think, there's always a way to serve the Lord. What can I do more? How can I bring the thought of Jesus being there into my workplace? What can I do in the things I do for work for him, so that I'm serving him and not my human masters or the people around me, or as well as my human masters and the people around me? Time for some thinking. Meanwhile, let's go back to those quotes and rewrite them as if these people were followers of Jesus. So, Steve Jobs, your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to work at whatever you do with all your heart, as if working for the Lord. Or Theodore Roosevelt could have said, far and away the best prize that life has to offer is the chance to work hard at anything, so long as you bring the Lord into it. Or Oscar Wilde, or whoever it was, it won't come up. The best way to appreciate your job, there it is to imagine Jesus there, and you're doing it for him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the work that we have, or that we're seeking, or that we've done in the past. We praise you that is part of your creation design, and that one day, because of Jesus and his work, we will see it fulfilled in the new creation perfectly. And while we wait for that, we pray for your help in our workplace, whatever that is, or in the work that we do, whether paid or unpaid. Help us to work at it with all our hearts, as if working for you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.